Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. How's it going, everybody? It is Saturday, December 3rd, 2022. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. Miserable day here in New York. A lot of rain, a lot of cold, a lot of December. But we'll get through it. I want to welcome everyone. I hope you're having a great weekend. Happy holidays to each and every one of you out there. Today we're going to get into a little bit of wrestling news. Briefly touch on SmackDown, Rampage, couple of updates to the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view, and anything else that we feel like talking about. Check out the synopsis in the video description for all the details. And, you know, before we go into anything, want to send a special best wishes to Robert Roode. Man, did those websites get it wrong a couple of weeks ago. You remember, I don't know, about a month ago, a bunch of websites were reporting a PW Insider. And it's funny, if you do a Google search, when they write it in capital letters, that's when they really want you to take notice of it. And about a month ago, they put potential spoiler on Robert Roode's return. And basically, Robert Roode was at some orthopedics doctor. We talked about it. And if you remember, we didn't know what was up. And a lot of websites, credit to a lot of websites out there who also said, you know, we don't know exactly why he was there. But because you think of orthopedics, you think of the back, you think of the legs, you think of the arms, nobody thought of the neck. And if you go look at that news story, they broke that WWE is hopeful that he will return soon to the ring. Well, I don't know if soon is, it would equate to 9 months, 10 months. Robert Roode just underwent neck fusion surgery. Now, if that sounds a little bit familiar in recent times as far as pro wrestling goes, well, it is similar to what Trent Beretta had last year. If people remember, Trent was out of action, what, about 8 months? He had neck fusion surgery, and I think the surgery was around June of 2021, and he made a return around December of 2021. So 6 month recovery is not out of the question. Problem is, you know, not all neck fusion surgeries are alike. Robert Roode, I mean, God bless that man for his dedication to not only his body and his well-being, but everything that he does. You know, I will always remember the time that I saw him wrestle here in New York on the indie circuit, NYWC. It's got to be the mid-2000s. Met him, really, really nice guy at the time, and you could tell that guy had something. You didn't know what it was at the time, but you knew he was going to be a star. So best wishes go out to Robert Roode. Just underwent neck fusion surgery. He's going to be out minimum 6 to 8 months. So, and you think of his age, you know, he probably didn't have that many years left of his pro wrestling career. Let's hope, you know, not just physically, but psychologically, he remains strong and can get back not only to the ring, but when it comes time to retire, he retires on his terms. You know, so little best wishes to Robert Roode. So how's everybody doing? I'm having fun. By the way, I am extremely excited. Tomorrow, if I have enough time, and I should, you will see a significant improvement in the video for these shows. I mean, I remember the early days going video 2 years ago when I looked like an American Indian. I was orange. I looked like a Donald Trump. The skin color was always off the color. I had no idea about the different camera lenses that you could use and interchange. And I have a Sony A6100. That's what I've been using. And I've had people tell me, you know, it looks like shit. So because of Black Friday, I have a brand new Sigma lens coming. It is being delivered tomorrow. And somebody is going to walk me through to change all the settings on my camera to make the video quality just look that much more better. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited for tomorrow. Tomorrow, sit down, we might see a little bit of an improvement, you know? I mean, my face is not, you know, a welcoming, warming feeling for a lot of people out there. But if I could look a little bit better, actually, if you think about it, it might make me look worse because the lines, you know, I'm no spring chicken anymore. All right. Guardian says, I look marvelous. You look marvelous. All right. Let's talk about the big story. You know, we had the conversation last Sunday. We don't need to pat ourselves on the back. We were opining. We were having a discussion. We were not reporting news. In fact, I remember clearly last Sunday saying, guys, gals, do not report this as news. What we were trying to do is we were trying to make sense of the situation with William Regal. You know, if you remember last Sunday, there was a lot of disparaging reports online. Dave Meltzer said that it was a 3-year deal, then it was a 1-year deal, then it was a 3-year deal again. And I even saw David Bixenspan even say, like, you know, like, what's up with these reporters? You know, like, why is this so conflicting? And if you remember the scenario that we talked about last Sunday, we said, you know what? Could be a combination of both. Maybe when William Regal signed with AEW, he got a 3-year deal, and Tony Khan gave him the option of opting out after year one and year two. And think of the math. Think of the time. He signed 9 months ago. Well, when someone is going to exit, what is usually the no-compete clause in pro wrestling? 90 days. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out. And it appears everything that we discussed last Sunday and this past Monday was accurate. William Regal on Dynamite was attacked by MJF. You know, as we said for many, many weeks, never trust the devil. You know, it's amazing how many people were convinced that MJF was turning babyface. It's mind-boggling. If you do a search, it blows me away. You know, oh, credit you fans. You changed the direction of MJF. The fuck are you talking about? You know, MJF is the devil. He's the devil. Period. If you want to cheer for him, you cheer for the devil. You don't cheer for the devil that's now wearing angel wings. So he turns on William Regal. William Regal, blood on the mouth, taken out on a stretcher. We had no idea that the head of the Blackpool Combat Club was as fragile as an egg, but he was written off of TV. And more reports are coming out that William Regal is done with AEW. 1 year opt out, told Tony Khan 9 months in, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to opt out after year one. And he did it look at the math. Look at the time frame when he signed with AEW. Look at the time frame of this past week. It is almost on the nose 9 months. So if this scenario is correct, the last 90 days, Tony Khan decided write him off TV. So now if you look at that small checklist that I have there, 3-year AEW deal, check. Opt out after 1 year, check. 90-day notice given, check. NXT stand and deliver WrestleMania weekend. We don't know yet. But the 90 days will be up prior to WrestleMania weekend. So a William Regal return to NXT just in time for WrestleMania, yeah, could very well happen. Now, as I always say, out of respect to the wrestlers, out of respect to Hall of Famers, out of respect to anybody who entertains us, you know, I always will end this conversation the same way. You know, William Regal has not said anything publicly about this, which tells me that silence is very glaring. The silence is very loud, because if the rumors were false, if he's not leaving AEW, as I said earlier this week, I would think him and Matt Kuhn would go right on his gentleman's podcast. If you don't hear it from me, do not take it as news. You know, or contrary, look, everybody is now writing William Regal off of AEW entirely. If he's still committed to AEW, that's kind of like disrespectful to AEW. It's disrespectful to Tony Khan. It's disrespectful to William Regal. It's disrespectful to the whole storyline. But I think the telltale sign was last Wednesday. Now, yes, I was on vacation last Wednesday, so I couldn't do a show, but I watched that attempt at an explanation of why Bryan Danielson, you know, really cared about William Regal still and was trying to convince Moxley this and that, and the fans even chanted bullshit. You know what that said to me? This is just opining. Remember, what we do here is opine. You know, we report news once in a while, but my thing since 97 is opining. You look at that last week, it felt like it was rushed, forced, not thought about with much time. And if you look at the time frame and what we say is true, William Regal probably gave his opt-out right before last Wednesday. And what probably happened was Tony Khan scrambled to, okay, how do we write this off? And if you saw my synopsis for this past Wednesday, I think MJF versus Bryan Danielson is the plan. I think that's definitely the plan. Do you remember the thumbnail that I put online? I don't know if it was the spring of this year, maybe the summer, but I think it was the spring of this year, and it was Bryan Danielson holding the AEW World Championship, and I wrote, will it ever happen? And I don't know if a lot of you out there have ever thought about it, but doesn't it feel like almost like Bryan Danielson, when he signed with AEW, is like, look, I don't want to be world champion. Doesn't it feel that way? I mean, look, I think Bryan Danielson will be world champion. I'd be shocked if he's not AEW world champion before he leaves, before his contract is up. But man, you would think it's fucking handed to you. Bryan Danielson, as the leader of AEW, I mean, it's not hard to envision that that's somebody you could get behind. You know, not only, and Bryan Danielson is one of those few people that both sides of the aisle would appreciate and respect and love. You know, from the cornets to the AEW blowhards, you know, to the whack jobs on both sides, you know, and yet it doesn't happen. Now, in your right mind, if MJF is going to feud with Bryan Danielson, do you think they're dropping the title off of MJF anytime soon? No. No, I don't see Bryan Danielson beating MJF for this championship. But it almost feels like Bryan Danielson will go after MJF for what he did to William Regal, and then Moxley will not be happy about Bryan Danielson continuing his love for William Regal. Now, obviously, William Regal, pay attention. If that name suddenly disappears for 95% of the conversations in the, between the Blackpool members, well, that Blackpool Combat Club is disbanding, if you haven't figured it out, that's another telltale sign. But man, last week just felt rushed. We got to come up with something, and that's what they came up with. So look, I think we all have to understand, you know, and remind ourselves, pro wrestling is a business. Doesn't matter how much you emotionally are attached to a promotion, it's a business. William Regal, if his love is WWE and always wanted to go back to WWE and got that opportunity, you cannot have any dislike for William Regal for leaving AEW. It's business. You know, William Regal, for the time he was there, did everything that he was told to do and did it very well. That's all you could ask for the guy. But in closing, as far as William Regal goes, remember what I also said Wednesday. If he is not gone from AEW, they have created a major problem. because by the time he returns, the Blackpool Combat Club is going to disband. Now, you see AEW, let's be honest, with all due respect, a lot of their turns don't make any sense. So you look at Daniel Garcia, the whole thing with, you know, being a pro wrestler, and everything made, the storyline was great. And then they were just like, nah, you know what, just put him back in it. Look at Jamie Hayter. We thought Jamie Hayter months ago was going to turn on Britt Baker. She's still with her. You know, you see that happening over and over and over again. You know, you look at Swerve Strickland. Oh, they're still a team. Now, just to segue, I guess we could segue away from William Regal. You know, yesterday, and it's interesting to see the conversations online. And this has to do with this man, Shane Taylor, showing up on Rampage. Shane Taylor confronting Keith Lee. Oh, you deserted me many, many years ago. So now we get at the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view, we're going to get a tag team match. And it would have been nice if I gathered my notes, right? I got to pull up my notes. But the thing is this, you know, Shane Taylor, for a majority, let's be honest, everyone, for 95% of wrestling fans out there, Shane Taylor is not someone that people would recognize and know. If you showed a picture of him and didn't say who he was, you would not know it's Shane Taylor. Listen, the guy has had a decent career in Ring of Honor. He recently had a match in Impact Wrestling. But Shane Taylor is not a household name. But they put him on Rampage yesterday because they're setting up a tag match at the Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. It's going to be Swerve and Our Glory versus Shane Taylor and JD Griffey. All right. Now, I saw Disco Inferno and some AEW diehards going at it over the last 12 hours because of this match. Look, I'm not going to throw any shade on Shane Taylor, but what this is, plain and simple, is for the existing Ring of Honor fans that like Ring of Honor, that always liked Ring of Honor, and would be the more likely candidates to order this Ring of Honor themed pay-per-view. They want to put some recognizable names that Ring of Honor fans know. That's why he is on this card. It is not to convince me to order the pay-per-view. It's not to convince the majority of you to order this pay-per-view. You look at the fan attendance during the entire time Shane Taylor was in Ring of Honor, and it was only a few hundred. So, but hey, you could get a few hundred to order the pay-per-view. Hey, that's money. That's money. But now word around the campfire is that Swerve Strickland will stab Keith Lee in the back at Ring of Honor's the themed pay-per-view and will join up with JD Griffey and Shane Taylor. So, but again, this goes back to what I said. You got people turning when they're not supposed to or makes no sense. You got people realigning when it makes no sense. So if AEW wants, they could reform the Blackpool Club whenever they want. They could bump into each other in the back, and then suddenly they're breaking bread again. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Wheeler Yuta. Because in the end, you know, Wheeler Yuta on his own, he could get a little rub from Bryan Danielson. He could get a little rub from Jon Moxley or even Claudio. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see how AEW handles Wheeler Yuta going forward. But, you know, look, the Shane Taylor thing, you know, it's not a big deal. It's for people who are existing Ring of Honor fans. Hey, you know, look at me as a diehard ECW fan. You know, when I went to a couple of reunion shows over the years, you know, I'm talking years ago, JT Smith was a guy that I always was looking forward to see. Who remembers the Shah of ECW, Hack Myers? You know, for about 95% of you out there, you probably never paid attention to JT Smith or Hack Myers. But if they're on a card, me being a diehard, he say, hey, that's pretty cool. I want to see, you know, what they're up to. You know, it's not meant for the regular everyday wrestling fan. It's meant for that small core of people that you put a couple of recognizable names. And let's also be honest, Jericho versus Claudio, a lot of people are shitting on. It's not just because of the stipulation that Claudio could possibly join the JAS. It's because if you don't bring in a couple of names like Juice Robinson, Juice Robinson is going to take on Samoa Joe. You know, that's going to be a good match. You know it is. But if you just put the recognizable names that have been on Dynamite Rampage, it's going to feel like a Dynamite or a Rampage. See, isn't it funny that for 8 months, remember my thumbnail from 7 months ago, Force Feeding Honor? You know, we saw that a mile away, that they were going to shove Ring of Honor down everybody's throats on Rampage and Dynamite, whether you liked it or not. And that's exactly what happened. But isn't it kind of interesting that for the 7 months of shoving Ring of Honor down our throats, they need outside names that are not featured every week in order to try to sell a Ring of Honor pay-per-view. You know, pretty interesting when you really think about it. Shout out to Joe Ramos. Shout out to all of you. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Now, I'm sorry if it offends anyone, but when I saw this yesterday, I immediately thought of Jim Cornette. But another championship will be defended on AEW television. Now, look, this title has been defended on YouTube. So, you know, anybody that follows AEW YouTube, you know that Hikaru Shida has already defended this title. But it's now going to reach TV. And for those that don't know, Hikaru Shida is currently the Regina the Wave champion. Wave is a pro wrestling promotion, and she is the champion. And she's going to take on the Bunny next week on Rampage for that championship. And sorry, I'm sorry if it offends anyone, but I will bet you anything you want to bet that when Jim Cornette covers Rampage, Jim Cornette calls it the vagina title. I could close my eyes and picture him saying that Hikaru Shida, there's another belt, Brian Last, the vagina the wave championship, the vagina title. So, yeah, Hikaru Shida, look, again, another fucking title. So everybody feels like they're a champion. So if they get a title in another promotion, good. You go out there, you show it. It's advertisement. These promotions, it's free advertisement. Hey, I never heard of this. How many of you out there saw that graphic and said, hey, I never heard of that championship before. What promotion is this? Some of you may actually check it out. So, you know, if you think about it, it makes Shida seem more important, but it also, you know, kind of puts a Band-Aid on the fact that she's got no push in AEW right now. Look at FTR. You know, I had a few of you email me, and I appreciate the kind words, but we have exposed that FTR has done nothing under the AEW record books for 2022. We talked about it even on Wednesday. Their record in the AEW record books is 3-4 for 2022. And everybody that FTR has beaten under the AEW record book, I'm not talking about New Japan, I'm not IWGP, I'm not talking about AAA, and I'm not talking about Ring of Honor shit. You look at the AEW record books, they have beaten nobody that would be considered a top 10 team. They've beaten two indie guys, they've beaten the Gun Club, which, you know, have a bright future. They've beaten nobody. 3-4 record in 2022. Suddenly, they're getting a title shot Wednesday against the Acclaimed. Now, yesterday they interjected Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett as suddenly contenders for the tag titles. You best damn believe that those motherfuckers are going to get involved on Wednesday. You could see that shit a mile away. But they're going to close out 2022 to try to make it seem like FTR, you know, regular use in AEW. But when you dissect it, it's for other labels, it's other promotions. So Shida showing up with that championship, oh, we're not doing anything with Shida. We're not putting any AEW title on her anytime soon. So we'll let her come out with another person's belt. So it feels like she's a champion. But meanwhile, you know, she ain't doing much in AEW. So, all right. So let's just get into quick results. And then we got to talk a little bit about SmackDown. I definitely have to talk a moment about Tegan Knox. I'm going to be very fair about Tegan Knox. But first off, yesterday on Rampage, Darby Allin beat Cole Carter. Felt bad for Cole. Got a chant from the crowd, "You look green." You know, a lot of people were pointing that out. You know, you would think after all this time, you know, people forget that he was with Tony D'Angelo earlier this year. Rene Paquette tries to interview the Acclaimed. He's interrupted by Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal, the Gun Club, and it's all to set up FTR versus the Acclaimed for Wednesday. And all those other teams that showed up as well, you seeds planted, Wednesday clusterfuck coming, and they'll probably help the Acclaimed win because they want the championships. Teams out there don't want to face FTR. FTR has three sets of titles, so if there's going to be a clusterfuck Wednesday, it'd probably be to help the Acclaimed, even though they don't want the assistance. Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal over private party. Rene Paquette interviews Saraya. This got some interesting reaction online yesterday. Saraya is putting all the women on notice. She wants a championship. I don't recall her saying which women's championship she wants, but she wants gold. So, Athena over Danny Moe. And again, as I said before, I think Athena is going to be the next feud for Jade Cargill. Orange Cassidy over QT Marshall in a lumberjack match to retain the All Atlantic Championship. This was a disaster as well. After the match was over, well, before the match was even over, Kip Sabian got involved. So you're going to see Kip Sabian versus Orange Cassidy next week for the All Atlantic Championship. But after the match was over, the lights go out. They go back on. The House of Black is in the ring. They start taking everyone out. And it was a really, I don't know if they just thought it was AR Fox, but it was like a really odd moment. And the IWC immediately went after it. You saw Ortiz in the ring, and the House of Black is clearing house, beating the shit out of everybody. And do you remember Miro? The Redeemer! How many more months he redeemed a paycheck without working? The Redeemer! Do you remember when Miro was on the rampway and he looked at the House of Black and Malakai Black just went like this and the IWC was like, ah! Miro's going to join the House of Black. Bless your little souls. Yesterday, Malakai stops the House of Black from beating up on Ortiz. Not even, they don't wait. Not even 10 seconds later, people are online. Ah! Ortiz might join the House of Black. You might, no. And then about a minute later, Malakai Black goes out of the ring and beats the fuck out of Ortiz. And people were like, oop, never mind. What was it? Gilda Radner? Did she do those skits back in the day on Saturday Night Live? She'd go on this whole rant, and then after it was over, never mind. Oh, that was funny yesterday. To watch that in real time on social media, that was pretty fucking funny. People were racing to get those 5,000 likes. Ortiz and House of Black, you know, it just hits a different. I want to punch people in the face every time they write it hits different. That is one of the lines, please. I know people want to get rid of Elon Musk on Twitter. They got to get rid of that shit on Twitter. Every time I see someone post something and they'll write, it hits different. Oh, I saw yesterday, Undertaker with a beard. It hits different. Jeff Jarrett wrestling in 2022. It hits different. Bray Wyatt still talking about his alter egos after all this time. It hits different. Ooh, you know, Ricochet hitting the 650 on King Cuerno yesterday because they did that in 2015. It hits different. Everything hits different. Every time somebody says that, I want to punch it. I get more angry at that than CarShield commercials. Seriously. I brought this up on the other shows. Those CarShield commercials. CarShield does that. You know, I don't mean to sound morbid. I want someone from one of those. It could be a customer. It could be one of the people waiting for a haircut. I want somebody from the CarShield commercial to die. So they take those commercials off the air. Out of respect to blah, 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 who passed away, we will not air these CarShield commercials anymore. I got to watch it 15 times a day. CarShield does that. CarShield does. Woo! Hate CarShield commercials. All right, so that was your Dynamite. So we'll do the preview for Dynamite on Monday show. We don't need to get into it this early. But right now, for your Ring of Honor theme pay-per-view, we got Jericho defending the Ring of Honor championship against Claudio. If Claudio loses, he joins JAS. Mercedes Martinez against Athena. Daniel Garcia defends the pure title against Wheeler Yuta. And Samoa Joe, actually five matches. Samoa Joe gets Juice Robinson for the TV title. And then Swerve and Our Glory versus Shane Taylor and JD Griffey. No relation to Ken Jr. Ed Sr. All right. Yesterday, SmackDown. We had the World Cup. And congratulations to Ricochet and the USA. Wow, look at that. All those years that it felt like Vince McMahon would always favor international people, and USA always seemed to get, you know, like second fiddle in a lot of storylines, pushing that international flavor. You know, no disrespect to the international wrestlers out there, but whenever there was like something, it always felt like, you know, like, didn't it feel like at some point, like you had a better shot at signing with WWE if you were from a different country than if you were in the United States? If you had some international accent, you know, for a little while, a lot of people felt that way. So Ricochet, representing the USA yesterday, beats Santos Escobar to win the World Cup. And now Ricochet will get a shot at the Intercontinental Championship against Gunther. Unfortunately, for everyone out there, if you haven't figured it out, the real number one contender is this man. Not Ricochet, but Braun Strowman. So expect Gunther to not only retain, but expect Gunther to probably beat the shit out of Ricochet afterwards. Braun Strowman will have to make the save, and then this will lead to Braun Strowman versus Gunther, possibly at the Royal Rumble. So, hey, even if that happens, at least Ricochet won the World Cup. It's almost like, you know, when you win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you know, hey, you still have that moment in history, but ain't no chance Ricochet takes that title off of Gunther. Something else yesterday, we had the SmackDown debut, the return to WWE for Tegan Knox. And, you know, look, let's be honest, NXT gets a fraction of the ratings that Raw and SmackDown gets. The everyday WWE Universe wrestlers, you know, wrestling fans do not pay that much attention to NXT. Tegan Knox has not been seen for, what, a year? So, of course, the everyday wrestling fan in the WWE Universe is really not going to know much of Tegan Knox. There was never this giant internet push for Tegan Knox to re-sign with WWE. So when people tried to be funny yesterday that she got no response, even though her name was on the graphic, Tegan Knox was never a regular roster wrestler. Say that fast 10 times. So I had no issue with the lack of a crowd response yesterday. Everybody, and listen, I actually preferred that response yesterday because I'm kind of sick that, you know, a fucking a mascot could come out. A fucking pet could come out. Somebody's dog. You know, CM Punk's dog could hit the ring and people are like, ah, epic, amazing, unbelievable. Oh, I have goosebumps. Look, this is real goosebumps. No, sometimes you keep it in perspective. Oh, Tegan Knox. Oh, that's pretty cool. Let's see what she can do. The fact is, though, everyone, welcome Tegan Knox to 50-50 booking. Because people haven't realized it, 50-50 booking is back, and it is full-blown. Go in the record books and go check out the records of Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Bayley, Dana Brooke. Well, Dana Brooke is even worse, but with a few exceptions. Ronda Rousey, exception to the rule. Bianca Belair, exception to the rule. Sorry. Solicitors. Ignore. Sorry. It's what happens during the day when we don't do the show. When we do the shows at 11 o'clock at night, nobody calls the house. If my phone rings at 11 o'clock at night, I get nervous because I almost am afraid that I'm going to get a call that somebody died. So anyway, Emma, is back. Tegan Knox is back. Lacey Evans, they're going to rebuild once again. And look, I love that they're going to do this. The mission begins. They are rebuilding Lacey Evans the way they should have. Not this, she's crying and she's battling and she's talking about what she did in her life and this, this, and that. No, this is what we wanted to see. This is what we wanted to see. We got Tribute to the Troops coming up. Of course, Lacey Evans is going to be proud of our military. This is the way they should have rebuilt Lacey Evans from beginning. So when people want to laugh like, oh, they're going to rebuild her again, she's a lost cause, shut up. Shut up. They're gonna try to fix what Vince McMahon fucked up. Let's be honest. That Lacey Evans, the vignettes went nowhere. They had to go 5 hours with it because they realized, gee, you know, we got to like tell her whole life story. We can't go from chapter one to chapter 19 in two promos. So Lacey Evans is going to get rebuilt. And when she comes back, welcome to 50-50 booking. If you spend 10 minutes on Google, go to the internet wrestling databases that give you the match results, the win-loss records of a lot of women in WWE for 2022, it is almost 500 record. You look at Dakota Kai as a singles wrestler in 2022, I think she's one match off of 500 record, 50-50. You look at Io Sky, you'll be surprised how many times she lost. That doesn't sound right. She lost. Shayna Baszler. I read goofs this week saying, oh, Triple H is all in on Shayna Baszler. Have you fucking, like, looked and seen how many matches she's lost? So, with the exception of a Ronda Rousey, and soon a Charlotte Flair and a Bianca Belair, but even Bayley is a little victim to it because she's a heel. Most of these women, they're being brought back. Tegan Knox. I have nothing against Tegan Knox. Anybody that was watching NXT and her feud with Dakota Kai, that was fucking great. She absolutely can do it. The thing is, we got to remember, NXT is this. It's in front of a very intimate audience. Would the everyday wrestling fan be interested in that? It goes back to my Ring of Honor argument. If Ring of Honor was meant for the millions, then why did it only draw 300 to 400 fans for 20 years? It's a niche product, whether people like it or not. NXT is not a niche product, but it's developmental. Even when it was black and gold, for some wrestlers, it was developmental, but they moved away from it, and they got caught in that trap, and they started feuding with AEW with ratings, and they had over-bloated wrestler contracts in NXT. Why would you pay a wrestler in NXT $300,000 when the merchandise is next to nothing? You have a takeover once in a while. It's not selling hundreds of thousands of buys because you got a Peacock subscription or the WWE Network or whatever it is. Why would you have those kind of contracts in NXT? So Tegan Knox, it was great in NXT for an audience of this. On the main roster, the reason why Emma is brought back and Tegan Knox is brought back and Lacey Evans being rebuilt is because we don't have enhancement talent. I mean, I don't want to disrespect Dana Brooke. I really don't want to disrespect Dana Brooke. But outside of Dana Brooke, there is really nobody on the women's roster that you would classify as enhancement talent. You know, you're not going to have random indie wrestler that's not on the WWE contract wrestling every week on TV. We don't have the Danny Mo's. We don't have the Sky Blues. We don't have the Rookies of Tomorrow wrestling on the main roster. We have them doing a dark match once in a while. So there is no enhancement talent in WWE. So they bring these women in so they have enough people for 50-50 booking. Candice LeRae. We love Candice LeRae. She's awesome. Look at her record for 2022. She'll get a decisive win, and then she'll get two losses. And then she'll get another win, a fruit roll-up, and she'll get another loss. So Dakota Kai, welcome back. Emma, welcome back. Candice LeRae, welcome back. For all these people that are like, oh, look, Triple H is righting the wrong of everything Vince McMahon did. This is righting the wrong? Look, of course we want them to have opportunity. Mia Yim. Mia Yim, welcome back. These women are talented as fuck. They are great in the ring. But how are they going to leapfrog Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks when she returns, Charlotte Flair when she returns? How are they going to leapfrog unless you have another yes movement or an oos movement, you know, an oosie movement? They're not. So they're being brought in for 50-50 booking because they don't have enhancement talent. This is the deal. So Tegan Knox being back, I'm happy for every person who is back. But at the end of the day, this is 50-50 booking. That's all it's going to be. Tegan Knox will get a match, get a win early to try to get momentum with the fans. She's got to get some wins early to try to get the fans over. She'll probably hang out with Bianca Belair for a week. She'll hang out with Liv Morgan. They'll do a tag team match. Liv Morgan will be in the back. Hey, what's going on? Hey, you know. And suddenly Liv Morgan, hardcore, you know, she may have to be a little hardcore as well. And to get that over. And then once she starts getting over, then, you know, distraction, fruit roll-up loss. And then she'll get a fruit roll-up win. And then she'll get a loss. Xia Li. Anybody that follows this show knows how much of a fan I am of Xia Li. Xia Li, it's 50-50. So, you know, when everybody just gushes over these Triple H rehirings, let's also put in perspective what their actual roles are going to be. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing, but it's definitely something that people need to be aware of. All right. So, yesterday, the Bloodline opened up SmackDown. Sami Zayn wanted to give credit for the Usos and the Bloodline for what they did at Survivor Series. No, the Usos want to give Sami Zayn credit this time around. Sami feels pretty freaking oosy. This brings out the Brawling Brutes. We open up with an almost 20. Look, we had two matches yesterday that added up almost an hour. When you also factor in commercial breaks. We had Sami Zayn beating Sheamus. Lot of interference, lot of distractions. In the end, Jey Uso with a super kick, helping Sami Zayn get the win. Sami winning with a sunset flip, too, I might add. Kofi Kingston is the first person to enter the Royal Rumble, interrupted by Giovanni Vinci. Little challenge was issued by Kofi against someone from Imperium. I fucking love how what's her face? Samantha does the intros. I've brought it up so many times in the past. When she announces Imperium, she gets really Imperium! Gutta! I fucking love it. Just like, you almost feel like she's going to pop a blood vessel the way she like gets intense introducing Imperium. It's not Imperium. That's like when you walk into an Italian deli and someone who's not Italian says, hey, can I have a pack of mozzarella cheese? No, you gotta say mozzarella. Give me a pack of mozzarella. Do you have any of that prosciutto ham? No, it's prosciutto. Mozzarella, soppressata, pepperoni. Not Imperium. Imperium! Love it. So Gunther accepts the challenge, has a great match with Kofi Kingston. Actually, that match, I think, went 11 or 12 minutes as well, beats Kofi Kingston. We had Shayna Baszler beat Emma in about 4 minutes, and the relationship put on camera between Emma and Madcap Moss is shown once again. There's a lot of people that still don't realize that they are really dating. Bray Wyatt backstage. Telling you, man, we need a revelation within the next 2 weeks. People are going to start shitting on this. Him doing the promo, oh, if that was really me, LA Knight would not have been, you know, like, there would have been none of him left. You know, I'm not trying to piss anybody off, but if you remember since day one, everything that we predicted about Bray Wyatt and what was going on was true. There is no Wyatt Six. It was Bray Wyatt feuding with his inner mind. And Uncle Howdy, revel in what you sow, revel in your, whatever the fuck he said. Bask in your glory. No. You see Uncle Howdy on that screen? That's Bray Wyatt's mind. This is Bray Wyatt still feuding with his mind. It's just think of a psychotic murderer that's, you know, that just snaps. Think, you might have a relative, a friend who snaps. You know, like somebody gets mad. And then there's people out there who snap. You know, we've had it in wrestling. You know, you'd have wrestlers, think of wrestlers in the past, you know, who would, you know, you don't piss them off too much in the ring, because if that person snaps, it's all over. You know, so Bray Wyatt, the message is, you know, if I fucking snap, game over, whoever it is. But people are thinking now that somebody's going to be revealed as someone under the Uncle Howdy mask. How many fucking months do you have to be wrong? You know, sooner or later, Bray Wyatt is going to introduce a puppet. And people will be like, told you there was going to be something else. It's Bray Wyatt still feuding with his mind. And guess what? I think people are starting to get a little bit impatient. They want that guy in the ring. And when it's funny that it's been a month since JD and I had that conversation that, you know, we may not get a match in 2022 for Bray Wyatt. And we're now in December, and we may close out 2022 with no Bray Wyatt match. That, I'm telling you, two more weeks of this. Unless they do a reveal, Uncle Harper, some major shift in this, fans are going to start shitting on it. You could feel some tension already in the air. People are getting a little bit sick and tired of it. And I think WWE and Bray Wyatt would have to realize that, you know, it's only so many months that you could do this. Think of how long this has been already. It's been a while. I mean, you're talking, what, 3-4 months already? Nah, look, look, the Alexa Bliss thing. We talked about it on Monday, Josh. You know, that could be Uncle Howdy doing the mind melt on Alexa Bliss to try to get to Bray Wyatt. You know, don't immediately think that Alexa Bliss, she could align herself with Bray Wyatt. Did anything in his promo yesterday hint that Alexa Bliss is joining him again? You think Alexa Bliss destroyed LA Knight? No. No. All right. Let me just run down the rest of the SmackDown results. Couple of super chats. Oh, wow. That was not good. Almost lost my voice. Almost lost my voice. That's why I can't be loud. I'm all right. I'm all right. We get Shayna Baszler beating Emma. Excuse me. I'm okay. I just strained my voice and I felt it too. I'm all right. It feels normal. Shayna Baszler over Emma. After the match was over, Emma gets beat down a little bit more. Shotzi tries to make the save. Nah, here comes Raquel with the brace. I have no problem with Raquel Rodriguez taking on Ronda Rousey at the Royal Rumble. Did you see on WWE's website the social media pictures of the week? They had pictures of Mandy Rose and others. They're always showing, like, the, you know, wrestlers outside of their element. And sometimes they're really sexy pictures. I got a kick. I wasn't even going to bring it up this week, but I might as well now. I got a kick out of them showing all the pictures of Raquel Rodriguez, like posing with nice outfits. And I'm saying to myself, where's your brace? In storyline, where's your fucking brace? I just, something that I noticed. But she comes out wearing a brace. And this is going to lead to Ronda Rousey versus Raquel Rodriguez, likely at the Royal Rumble. So the Usos, Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa are about to leave the building. Solo and Sami go to get the car. Usos with a little on-camera conversation. Jimmy asking Jay, you know, did you confront Sami about lying to your face? Jay's like, nah. You know, Roman says he saw what he needed to see. And next thing you know, here comes Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, leaving them laying. Sheamus. And Sheamus and Drew McIntyre are going to be taking on the Usos soon for those tag titles. First, they have to beat Riddle and Elias on this Monday's Raw. Damage Control cuts a segment, interrupted by Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan goes at it with Damage Control just to be saved by Tegan Nox, as we said, showed you earlier. So welcome Tegan Nox to SmackDown. Interesting. Karrion Kross about to have a new feud. It's interesting to see their reactions online. You got Scarlett with the tarot cards, and she pulls the Emperor. Karrion Kross is going to start feuding with Rey Mysterio. This is either going to be awesome, or this is going to be giving me vibes of Lars Sullivan versus Rey. Anybody remember? We had that conversation quite a while ago. You know, I personally think this is going to be off the hook, because you know, a lot of people forget. You know, Rey had a, you know, was perfect for that Lucha Underground, and Kross did great in Lucha Underground. You know, yesterday we had Ricochet and Santos Escobar. That's King Cuerno and Prince Puma 7 years later. And interesting enough, you know, Ricochet, when he beat him 7 years ago in Lucha Underground, used the same move that he used yesterday. I think Rey Mysterio and Karrion Kross is going to be a hell of a lot better than people realize. It's going to be interesting. I mean, there is a major size difference. But I think there's going to be a boatload of psychology involved there. So, but and to close out SmackDown, you had Ricochet beating Santos Escobar. You know, we had Zelina Vega on commentary for a little while, and then everybody got ejected to the back. And I think some people were kind of relieved. I thought Zelina on commentary was great, because every time Santos got in trouble, she would like make like these sounds like you're stepping on a cat's tail. People on audio only right now are like, please don't do that. Please don't do that. It sounds like you're coughing up a lung instead. All right. So that's SmackDown yesterday. I enjoyed it. I thought SmackDown was fun yesterday. Rampage is like going to a buffet. It's like going to a buffet. Like none of the food is like out of this world, but you leave and your stomach is full. You know, you eat a lot of cocktail franks, and you eat like a little, like sample little bagel bites and cheese and pickles and, you know, little pumpkin tarts. And you walk out and you're like, dude, I ate everything. Like nothing like seems to make sense. Like it doesn't intertwine with each other, but you just know at the end, you just feel full. That's how I go in watching Rampage. Rampage, you would think they would open up like with what MJF did to William Regal. Have MGF come out there and cut another promo talking about what he did on Wednesday. You know, not even saying to go bloodline, but MJF, you walk slow to the ring. You walk methodical. You eat up 15 minutes that way. Must-see TV. No, we open up and we get fucking what we got. We had some recap. Not the same. Recap and shit is, that's not the same. You got to build. You got to feel like Rampage continues. Rampage is just a whole lot of buffet. It's like you walk in the back of the WWE event and they got all his plates of food and cold cuts and anything you possibly want. Broiled chicken for the health nuts out there. Vegan food. Like you just eat everything. You just take like one of everything on the plate. Dynamite this week. I don't know. Again, people got to stop making excuses, man. Last week they did 880 in the ratings. This week they did 870. Rating went down. Not only did the rating go down, but the quarter hours were very interesting. It's going to show once again that, you know, when you see someone like not all the time, it feels a little more special. If you don't eat steak all the time, and when you do eat one, you know, it tastes different. You know, when you have the same thing every week or every day, after a short amount of time, doesn't feel special anymore, you know? And it shows it with the elite and the debt triangle. The quarter hours this week, and you see the pattern. We've talked about it for about 6 months, and it continues. You take away that first quarter. It's not a huge overall effect, but you take away that first quarter, and that extra 150,000, 200,000 viewers from the Big Bang Theory that forgot to change the channel at 8 o'clock. You take away that quarter. I mean, it really just shows you as far as what the actual numbers are. And what Tony Khan has been doing religiously is you either get the Jericho Appreciation Society, or you get Moxley, or you get Claudio or Brian Danielson. You get something in that form for quarter one. Because when you go back and you look at the recap, you got quarter one, 1,030,000 viewers. That quarter one was Brian Danielson and Dax Harwood and the confrontation with Hangman Page and John Moxley. Oh, look, they did over 1 million. Then you get those extra Big Bang Theory people that are like, honey, you forgot to change the channel. Quarter two, which was a majority of Dax versus Brian Danielson. Go back. That match started at 8:13. We're going to go to pitcher in pitcher. That quarter went down 153,000 viewers. Does that mean that 153,000 wrestling fans said, nah, I don't want to see Dax versus Brian Danielson? No. Majority of them are people from the Big Bang Theory that says, I don't want to watch this. And they changed the channel. Quarter three, which was the segment with the Jericho Appreciation Society minus Sammy, the girls, and Jericho, and Claudio, and Willie Ute on the opposite side, and then Samoa Joe versus AR Fox. That quarter did 869. It went down only 8,000 viewers. Not bad. MJF and William Regal segment gained 20,000 viewers to 889. Now, 889 is about what the average was. 870 was the overall. So that segment, which you would think, this is MJF's first appearance on Dynamite as world champion. It didn't even get 900,000 viewers. Daivari versus Ricky Starks. Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker's promo did 869, down another 20,000 viewers. Anna Jay versus Willow Nightingale, ultimately with Ruby Soho making a return. Orange Cassidy and QT Marshall setting up their Rampage main event went down another 31,000 viewers to 838. Jay Cargill, her segment with Bow Wow, the acclaimed and Daddy S's promo, and then the beginning of the Elite versus the Death Triangle. This is interesting. Quarter seven went down 37,000 viewers, and the final quarter, which was all Elite versus Death Triangle, went down another 9,000. So for those final two quarters, you had almost 50,000 AEW fans say, I'm not interested. 792. Doesn't that sound familiar? Go back to 2020. Go back to 2020 when the Young Bucks, not throwing shade on the Young Bucks, but go back to 2020 when the Young Bucks were closing out a lot of Dynamites. Kenny Omega closing out some Dynamites. You will see a lot of sevens in the ratings. They are some of the most talented wrestlers in AEW, but is it safe to say, for me to say, that when you've seen one of their matches, you've pretty much seen them all? You know, you might get some outside trolling of CM Punk, and they might mimic people, but it feels like when you've seen one, you've seen them all. And I'm not going to lie to you, when I prepared for Wednesday Night Dynamite Wednesday, I didn't watch the whole match. I was in here setting up the show. I was listening to it, and I would go inside to see some of the moves. But why do I want to see seven matches of these guys? The House of Black, you know, they're back, and they're feuding with Best Friends. Isn't that something that we would have seen in 2020? After all of this time, does it feel like there's progress since 2020? When CM Punk, when that shit first went down and I said, everyone, welcome back to 2020, that's what it feels like. It feels like we're back in 2020. So it does not feel like much has changed. If anything, Britt Baker is used a hell of a lot less. Jamie Hayter, okay, she's AEW Women's Champion. Who's she going to feud with? You know, Willow Nightingale? Ruby Soho? When? 4 months from now? The House of Black, when are they going to get a trios shot? I'm telling you, House of Black is not going to get a feud for the trios titles. April, May, who wants to wait that long? All right, I'm going to give a couple of shout-outs. Shout-out to Daniel-san. Thank you for the $10 Super Chat, my friend. Merry Christmas, brother. Making some money during this open enrollment. Wanted to share the wealth. Thank you. Thank you. So you're in the insurance business. I did not realize that. Very cool, man. Very cool. Sell more policies and spread that wealth. Thank you, Daniel. Marco Metticoli. See, that's how you say it. I guarantee you, if you super chat another show, they'll say, hey, shout out to Marco Metticoli. Am I wrong, Matt? You don't have to answer. No, it's Marco Metticoli. If MJF can boost the AEW ratings, then what else is left for AEW? Not saying it's going to die, just not enough stars to help the product out. Look, this is their peak. I think you put the championship on Bryan Danielson. You might get a few extra viewers to tune in. You know, you want to get behind people that you like that are champions. The problem is when everybody's a champion, nobody's a champion. When everybody uses weapons, nobody uses weapons. When you hear Tony Schiavone, with all due respect, when Tony Schiavone says, oh, DQ finishes suck, and AEW doesn't want to do them, well, that's because the referees don't enforce the rules. You know how stupid it is that they're doing a storyline with the Lucha Bros, that they're against using a hammer, but they'll break every fucking rule and put people through tables and dive and do all this crazy shit outside the ring and fucking have 2-3 guys in the ring beating up one person every time because it looks like synchronized ballet. Everybody like turns a blind eye to it. They break the fucking rules 95% of the match, but they don't want to use a hammer. You know, it's so stupid and people see right through it. So this is their ceiling right now. AEW ceiling is about 900,000 viewers. They'll get 1 million once in a while. They'll get 800,000 once in a while. Winter is coming. We'll probably get 1 million viewers. But it's out of the norm. And take notice, when they hit 1 million viewers, Tony Khan will write everything and everywhere. Oh, thank you, fans, for making AEW, blah, 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 blah. And then when it does 800,000, everybody keeps quiet. You know, they don't listen. If you follow what Cornette's been saying, if you follow what we've been saying for, 3 years now, that AEW is Tony Khan's fantasy for us to enjoy. That's what it is. So he's like Walt Disney of wrestling. Walt Disney created a park for everybody. His vision for everybody to go to Disney World. Now it's other people own it, so they want to make money. But, you know, for Tony Khan, if he breaks even and he's still got billions, listen, guys, let's be honest. Seriously, this is not a shot on Tony Khan. Each and every one of you, put this in straight up common sense off the record. If you were a billionaire right now and your love is auto racing, and you go and invest even $100 million on a race park and your own car and your own driver and all this stuff, horse racing. You got your own horse, your own, you know, whatever, jockey, and you ain't winning nothing too much. You're not losing much, you ain't winning much. It's kind of even. You're not bleeding, hemorrhaging money. You're still a billionaire. But your fantasy of always wanting to own a race car and have someone drive it, own a horse, right, or own a minor league sports franchise, you know, and you're not hemorrhaging money. You're still a billionaire. You mean to tell me you would turn around and say, no, unless I'm, for some people, yeah, for some people, unless I'm making billions. But me, if I was a billionaire and I could own a local indie wrestling group over here, As long as I didn't have to mortgage my house and I wasn't bleeding money, look at podcasting. I'm not comparing podcasting to Tony Khan. This is probably the best way I could explain it. I've been doing this now going on 26 years. For the first 20, I made nothing. I took out of my pocket probably $50,000, $60,000 over those 20 years, paying for servers, paying for bandwidth, paying for equipment, paying for everything, doing content, everything. But you spread it over 20 years, it's not all that bad. But why did I do it? Because I just loved doing this. I loved the response, the reaction. I love the interaction. I love the friendships that I've built with some of you over the years. So if I had the extra opportunity, you know, and I don't have to like go into bankruptcy, and I could still take care of my bills for the most part, it was not a big issue for me. After some time, and you know, you get married, you have your own place, you know, the economy gets bad, then you have to be careful. But my point is, if you beloved something and you have the opportunity to do it and share it with the world, and as long as you're not hemorrhaging money, you know, why would you be? Tony Khan obviously loves to brag. He loves to take pride in what he owns and what he has. But take note, you don't see as much towards the Jaguars. You don't see much towards their soccer team. You don't see as much because at the end of the day, that's not his true love. Pro wrestling is. So what we're seeing, even if it stays 900,000 for the next 5 years, as long as the networks are happy overall, why would Tony Khan not be happy? I see when people make fun of AEW when it doesn't get 900,000 viewers, they put a picture of Shad Khan on the screen and he's got this goofy look on his face like, ooh, I think I made the wrong decision. You know, why? Why would you even think that? You know, you're not a billionaire. Why would you think that Tony or Shad Khan thinks they made a bad decision? Why? They're still billionaires. The networks are airing it. They're still happy. They got an insanely huge, too big of a roster. Why would there be any issues? For us wrestling fans, we get frustrated because we're being forced to enjoy. You know, it's like walking into a restaurant. You know, and you walk into the restaurant and like, I don't want this. I don't want that. Well, the owner likes it. Well, the owner likes it. Well, the owner owns the restaurant. The owner could put whatever he wants on the menu. No one forces you to eat there. That's it. How long will AEW last? As long as Tony Khan wants it. Maybe a major lawsuit fucks it up down the line. You know, something like that. But I don't see AEW closing down anytime soon. I don't. AEW could be around 20 years. You know, it's as long as Tony Khan wants it to be around. And that's more accurate than you realize. So, all right. We're going to start bringing this home. Yeah, Marco, you didn't have to do that. He sent another two. This is exactly how I say it, DT. Yeah. Marco Matticoli. Gifa, Marco Matticoli. Much love, my friend. Much love. Thank you for that. All right. What do we have left? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it has now been made public and made official, so you can mark it down on your calendar. Tribute to the Troops will air Saturday. JL4 John B., welcome to the family. It'll air Saturday, December 17th. I think it's like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's airing in the afternoon, everyone. So if you want to watch Tribute to the Troops, 20 years already, everyone. 20 freaking years. Anybody remember when Tribute to the Troops first started and you'd hear like explosions in the background, you know, and you'd have like them visiting, you know, man, I can't believe it's 20 years already. That's crazy. That's crazy. Right after 9/11, when the Iraqi war started, I mean, they were doing Tribute to the Troops. Crazy. It's been 20 years. They should do a special, man. They should do a special 20 years of Tribute to the Troops, you know, show a lot of the history, man. Some of that shit was eerie. Now, yes, I know some people will incorporate the controversy with some of their visits overseas to the military. I'm not bringing it up here, but you know what I'm talking about. All right, so mark that down on your calendar. Also, next week on SmackDown, we have the Kurt Angle birthday celebration. That will be taking place next week. And look, man, of course Kurt Angle is going to keep this alive. But, you know, the idea that, oh, you know, one day I'd love to have a tag match and this and that. You know, 6 months ago, Kurt Angle was talking about how he can never hit the ring ever again. You know, like a lot of these wrestlers, I don't blame them. You know, you want to hold on to hope, and you, it feels good to have wrestling fans still want you to be in the ring. You know, but unfortunately, I mean, the idea that this guy is going to have a match again, I mean, hey, maybe after what we saw with Steve Austin, I guess it could be possible. But, you know, they're going to do a birthday celebration next week on SmackDown. Now, keep in mind, that is a week before Tribute to the Troops. So, you know, who is actually going to interact with him? Gunther? I don't know. So, yeah, Kurt just had major surgery as well. He just had a major surgery. All right, before we go, we got to leave with one thing that I should not have waited till the end of the show to do, but I'm not going to lie, it kind of like didn't cross my mind as we were talking about other stuff. This is something being considered. It is not news, but it is being heavily considered. Now, first of all, the Elimination Chamber is taking place in February. I know there were some rumblings on some sites a couple of months ago that WWE was getting rid of the Elimination Chamber. All right, if you tuned in to Triple H's press conference after Survivor Series, he touched on this a little bit. If you didn't tune into it, just to give you a very blunt to the point comment of what he said, and it's common sense too. You know, like, how many times over the years do we say, like, you know, like, you, one of my pet peeves when I first started doing wrestling hotlines is you would have someone cut a promo. When I get you in the ring, I'm going to fucking kill you. I'm going to beat the living shit. I'm going to fucking kill you. I can't wait to put my hands around your neck. I'm going to choke you like a chicken. Nobody ever said it like that, but you get the deal. And then the first thing they do when they get in the ring is they lock up. You know, like, you want to kill someone in the ring and you finally get that opportunity. You charge them, you punch them, you throw them outside the ring. You just beat the living shit out of them. And I can't tell you how many times over the years two people get in the ring and they lock up, collar and elbow. That's their first reaction, and it just ruins it for me. So the thing is, when you challenge someone, why would you challenge someone to an Elimination Chamber match? Why would you want to face five other people in that structure? So something like that is the role of a GM. It's the role of WWE management. That five participants get the opportunity to win Chamber and then they could fight on to take on a champion or whatever it is. This year it's a little difficult. And that could be the scenario. WWE could announce, think about this, WWE, and maybe we just hit on something that nobody's talked about. Maybe we get an announcement very, very soon that the winner of the Men's Royal Rumble takes on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for whichever belt they choose, the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship. Or if a Raw wrestler wins the Royal Rumble, they challenge for the WWE Championship. If a SmackDown wrestler wins the Royal Rumble, they challenge for the Universal Championship. And then the winner of the Elimination Chamber match takes on Roman Reigns for the other title. Is that the scenario? Did we just accidentally, like, back into the scenario? That could be it. That might be it. Winner of the Rumble takes on Roman for one of those championships. Winner of the Chamber takes on Roman for the other at WrestleMania. So, with that aspect done, when it comes to Hell in a Cell, you want Hell in a Cell to be the culmination of a blood feud. You know, you don't want it to be the first match between two people, and you don't want to have it just to have it. So, as of right now, WWE is considering Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens in a Hell in a Cell match at Royal Rumble. It kind of makes sense because you don't incorporate Kevin Owens into this and then not fight anybody. You know, yeah, he could take on Solo Sikoa. Yeah, he could take on an Oos. Yeah, I think Roman Reigns, as we said last week, is ultimately going to make Sami Zayn take on Kevin Owens. I think that's happening. I think Roman Reigns is going to force Sami Zayn to take on Kevin Owens, maybe on an episode of SmackDown. And that's where maybe Sami shows a little bit of, you know, pause. But if you think of the storyline, Hell in a Cell, Sami can't get in there, or maybe he tries and fails. Kevin Owens is not beating Roman Reigns for one of those championships. So Hell in a Cell, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, that aspect of their feud comes to an end. Not saying it's going to happen, but it's being considered. So you let me know what you think. Would you want to see Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens, Hell in a Cell, at the Royal Rumble, even though we know pretty much what the outcome will be? But I'm also curious, do you think that happens? Winner of the Rumble, winner of Elimination Chamber, each get a championship opportunity at WrestleMania, and that's how you divide the titles. Roman is forced to wrestle twice. Rumble Chamber. I think we got to start pushing that, everyone. I think that's the scenario. I think that's it. Iman, good for you, man. He thinks Roman should remain champion for 1,000 days. If this was 20, 30 years ago, I wouldn't even say that. You got the Hogan era at that time, but hey, Roman, listen, think back 5, 6 years ago. Think back that night when The Rock held Roman Reigns' arm in the air, and he had this look on his face, The Rock, like, he's like, what the fuck is going on with these fans? I mean, the denial or the ignorance on his face was priceless. At that time, even when he beat The Undertaker, it's my yard now. Remember that night? Did you ever think 5 years later, Roman Reigns may go down as the next big Hall of Fame superstar following John Cena and Randy Orton? Would we have ever thought 5 years ago Roman would be this good, this dominant? Yes, it's storyline, but the guy has turned himself into one of the greatest of this generation. He's an artist. He's a performer. He's a pro wrestler too, but he's a performer. This goes back to what we were talking about with Jay Cargill a couple of weeks ago. Jay Cargill, she meant well with it, but her remark saying that if given the time, every woman in AEW could have a 5-star match. What the fuck does that even mean? Why do fans have to have a 5-star match? Did you see the polls that floated around? Which one did you like more, Full Gear or War Games? On average, War Games won 75-25. Full Gear had 10 times the quality of matches for the time. But people just, if you have a hardcore good storyline, you don't need a 5-star match. Not every wrestler, that should not be in their requirement that I must be able to have 5-star matches. Who are you pleasing? Whoever said that you have to? So that mentality is flawed tremendously. Entertain the fans. Entertain the fans. Bray Wyatt has entertained the fans big time for the last couple of months. Now something needs to shift. Otherwise, fans are going to start getting angry. But for when he returned, people are chanting, holy shit, he didn't wrestle. He didn't do anything. He just talked. He just held up a lantern. It was awesome to see him back, and then they started the storyline. Remember all the Easter eggs and the QR codes and the rabbits and the Uncle Howdies? Everybody, for the most part, loved it and had no wrestling involved. So, all right, everyone, I'm going to jet out of here. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Don Tony Show. I know I did. We got into every topic we needed to. So let me know your thoughts. William Regal, WWE return, the scenario, what we said with Roman's titles, Kevin Owens and Roman, Hell in a Cell at Royal Rumble, you know, the 50-50 booking with the women's division. Look, it's 50-50 in a lot of the men's side as well, but it's more glaring on the women's side with the exception of a select few. And, you know, I'm happy to see some of the people we see on TV, but no one, for the most part, gives me this aura that they're going to go on a major run. I mean, Dexter Lumis was my favorite wrestler in NXT for quite a long time. Do I think Dexter Lumis is going to have a championship reign and start main eventing places? No. What we got for the last 2 or 3 months, I mean, you know, let's dissect. You know, you could put on a thumbnail every person that Triple H has brought back. I got news for you. This probably will stir up some interesting response, but I'll say it right before I go off the air. I probably would not have said this a month ago, but now I'm starting to lean that the person outside of Braun Strowman who has benefited the most so far upon their return, Karrion Kross. Because he actually put on great matches with Drew. Now he's going to feud with Ray. You know, outside of him, you know, I think Braun Strowman is probably the guy that has benefited the most, despite him having a little bit of a loose mouth. So, you know, you could put the thumbnail. Johnny Gargano's had a fun return, but I think some people also feel that there's been a little bit too much comedy. You know, so it's up for debate, man. All right. I'm out of here, everyone. If you are around Sunday night, you are welcome to join me for the sit-down. The sit-down from 8 p.m. Sunday night till about 9:30. We will just sit here and have some casual Q&A. Next Thursday is the mailbag, and don't forget, vote on that poll because it is very, very close right now. Do you want a weekly Thursday mailbag, but 10 questions a week, 15 at the most? Short mailbag, but we get into questions every week, or do we do it once a month? So go in the community section on YouTube and vote, because by next Thursday, we will be making an announcement where we go from here with this. Majority rules. So if you want to be part of the decision, go on the page and vote. Everyone, it's been great. Have a good rest of your Saturday. I hope to see you Sunday night at 8 o'clock, if not Monday after Raw. Be well, everyone.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.